Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 18th day of October 2019. And after meeting this brother in Christ at a retirement party, a brother who was a friend and a guest on this program who had retired from the pastoral ministry at the Malvern Free Presbyterian Church in Pennsylvania. That was a number of years ago, and I met this brother at that party, that retirement party, I just said to myself, I've got to get this brother on my program. I was so fascinated and blessed and edified and impressed by this brother during our conversation, and I'm just thanking the Lord that this opportunity has now arisen, and he is our guest today. I am speaking of Dr. John McKnight. He is a conference speaker, and he is the pastor of Reformation Bible Church of Darlington, Maryland. Today we are going to be addressing his journey from Wesleyan Arminianism into Calvinism, guided by the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit alone. We're also going to be discussing the 78th Annual Convention of the American Council of Christian Churches, which is being held next Tuesday through Thursday here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at Faith Chapel, and that's going to be on the theme, Biblical Fundamentalism Pursuing Purity. But first of all, it's my honor and privilege to welcome you to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the very first time, Dr. John McKnight.
Thank you, Chris. It is a pleasure and blessing to be with you today. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Amen. Well, first of all, before we get into your personal testimony and your journey from Wesleyan Arminianism into Calvinism, please tell our listeners something about Reformation Bible Church of Darlington, Maryland.
Reformation Bible Church is an independent Bible church that has its roots in the Evangelical Methodist Churches of America, which is a small fundamentalist denomination of Bible-believing Methodists who, through the years, separated from the growing apostasy in the United Methodist Church. And so that was those were the roots of this congregation. My father was the founding pastor back in 1952. He was a farmer here in the area and a Sunday school teacher in a Methodist church, and began to discern the Sunday school literature going off the rails theologically, and learned more about what was happening through some of the outspoken leading fundamentalists of that era. And the consequence was eventually the establishment of this congregation. And the Lord used him here in some mighty and wonderful ways to establish a church and a Christian school that continues today. We have come to a more of a reformed understanding of the doctrines of salvation. And the Lord has given us a wonderful fellowship and opportunities for service in the community and different parts of the world. So I have been here a total of 34 years, 7 years as an associate with my father back in the 80s, and then I pastored in South Carolina for 5.5 years and returned here as senior pastor in 1992.
Well, did your dad follow your journey as well into Reformed theology, or Calvinism as it is nicknamed?
Well, I don't know yet. I'll find out when we get to heaven.
Well, you know he has now.
Yes. Well, I'll put it this way. My father, throughout his life, in the, I think, commendable spirit of historic Methodism, was very tolerant to work with brethren of different theological understandings, not to compromise with those who were openly disobedient to the Scripture or disregarding its clear commands. But just as Wesley and Whitfield had a relationship and were in many cases, we'll say, under the same umbrella, my father could work with others from different persuasions. In fact, one of the most influential men in my father's life was Dr. Carl McIntyre, who was a Bible Presbyterian, and though my father never openly came to confess embracing the doctrines of grace, he knew where I had come and wanted me as his successor in this pulpit. And in God's good providence and by an amazing confirmation, the Lord called me here 1 year after my father's very unexpected death at age 66. And I'm told that at the time of his death, he was reading through Pink's Sovereignty of God, which is a good sign for anyone.
Yes, and, in fact, it's actually, I have spoken, I don't even know how many, but I've definitely spoken with a number of Reformed brethren who actually became Reformed, obviously through the Holy Spirit, but the human instrument was that very book, A.W. Pink's book on the Sovereignty of God.
Yes. So my father, through his ministry here, establishing and building this church, had close communications with the Bible Presbyterians through the American Council of Christian Churches. He was an evangelical Methodist, but the evangelical Methodist denomination was not a strict theological position. My father was always open to anyone who truly believed the Scripture and would earnestly contend for the faith. And that was the legacy he left here, which I trust will always be sustained by this congregation. And at this point, it is with more of a Reformed soteriology than what it may have been then. But my father was a very interesting and able man. In fact, at the coming convention of the American Council of Christian Churches, they've asked me to provide a breakout session on my father's life, and although he was not an Ian Paisley or a Carl McIntyre, I think he was a very good snapshot of what the true fundamentalists were and are. And so he stood here strongly, opposing any false teaching that may come through, opposing efforts of the government to intervene into the ministry of Christian schools. He was a strong advocate for Christian education in Annapolis with our state government. But his ministry, I think, was influenced most by Carl McIntyre through the Christian Beacon and his exposing false teachers. John R. Rice and his revivalism was certainly a part of my father's ministry. Both of those men preached here. And the evangelist Oliver B. Green out of Greenville, South Carolina, a tent evangelist who was quite a pulpiteer. Those are people that were influential, I think, in my father's study and development for the ministry. He never attended seminary, but was a graduate of Philadelphia Bible Institute when it was a 3-year Bible Institute program. And God used him in this place in an amazing, wonderful way.
Well, praise God. And when your dad was pastoring the church that you are now pastoring, was it called back then Reformation Bible Church?
No, it was Evangelical Methodist Church, and continued with the Evangelical Methodist denomination until 2014, and at that point there was a parting of ways.
Okay. And, one thing I wanted to ask you is, because of the fact that, as you are fully aware, the Reformed camp, if you will, within Christendom, has differences of opinion on baptism, among other things. Would Reformation Bible Church be Baptistic, or would it be a Paedo-Baptist congregation?
Our position continues the position we held as an Evangelical Methodist congregation. We will baptize by any mode that the candidate for baptism desires. Personally, I do not baptize babies, but I am not going to go to war with a brother who does, or with someone who desires that. If that's their conviction, that is between them and the Lord. I don't see that in the New Testament, which is why I'll not perform it, but I will not hesitate to have one of my Presbyterian brethren come in for a special Sunday afternoon service to baptize an infant if the parents desire that. In my 27 years here as senior pastor, that's happened once.
That sounds very much like the policy of the denomination, the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and Ulster.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And in fact, as I mentioned yesterday, my dear friend Peter Jeffrey, who is now in heaven for eternity with Christ, he pastored Sandfields in Port Talbot, Wales, which was the first congregation that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones pastored. And they had the same policy as well. They had members of both a Paedo-Baptist and a Baptistic conviction. Peter himself was Baptistic, but they would have someone who believed in Paedo-Baptism, a minister such as a Presbyterian, baptize an infant for a couple if they desired that.
Yes.
And by the way, folks, if you want to find out more about the Reformation Bible Church of Darlington, Maryland, if you want to look that up after this program is over, you can go to reformationbiblechurch.org, reformationbiblechurch.org, very easy to remember. And hopefully we'll be repeating that towards the end of the program. Well, we are, as I said, discussing not only your testimony, but we are also announcing to our listeners the 78th Annual Convention of the American Council of Christian Churches, to be held here next week, Tuesday through Thursday, at Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, on the theme Biblical Fundamentalism, Pursuing Purity. If you could tell us about this conference, and I know you already said that you are going to be paying tribute to your own father during a breakout session, but what else can you tell us about this conference?
Well, I found the American Council of Christian Churches as an organization to be one of the few organizations that is very open to persons of my conviction in terms of soteriology. Many of the fundamentalist brethren are very, shall I say, exclusively Baptistic in the independent fundamental Baptist form.
And sadly, very often, and very tragically, vehemently anti-Calvinist. Not always, but very often.
Yes, indeed, it is often the case. And because of that, a person with my convictions would often be viewed as somewhat heretical, at least badly skewed, if not absolutely heretical. But not so in the American Council of Christian Churches, and there are fundamental Baptist men who are a part of the council, who are most gracious and winsome in being open to various interpretations that are not considered outside the bounds of historic Christian orthodoxy. And that's one of the things about the American Council which would distinguish it from denominations. It is not a denomination at all. It is simply a council of churches and people who endeavor to stand earnestly for the inerrancy and infallibility of the Scripture and the doctrines of historic Christianity. But as such, they agree, for the sake of that union, not to bring their denominational distinctives into the scene for a, a strong defense or propagation of them. We know that we differ among ourselves. Bible Presbyterians, Free Presbyterians, Evangelical Methodists, Fundamental Baptists, Independent Bible Churches, those who are a part of the council, we know that we have differences and recognize the great value of fraternity with brethren of differing understandings who are yet one in the faith and one in their adherence to the inerrant Word of God. And that's what the council provides for us and stands for in this age. So in coming into the council in an active role back in 1992, it was one of the fundamentalist bodies that would receive me without looking a little askance, if I can put it that way. And I appreciate that openness that was received there. And I mean, at the time, I was an Evangelical Methodist pastor and a Calvinistic pastor and a fundamentalist pastor, and those are three things that many times don't mix, but that's kind of where I was, and they were happy to fellowship with me with that understanding.
And of course, that's ironic that there would be such vehement hatred on occasions amongst our fundamentalist brethren against Calvinism when many of the key figures during the fundamentalist modernist controversy in the earlier 20th century were themselves Calvinists. It is kind of interesting how there can be such bitterness and anger. And of course, there are independent fundamentalists who are Calvinists, and there are those that are tolerant of it and not hateful toward it. But you do have that extreme element within them. In fact, you have an extreme element within them that would even oppose the existence of something like the American Council of Christian Churches. There are some that take independence to such an extreme that they don't want to be associated with any kind of a fraternal or fellowship of churches that even smacks in any way of being a denomination. If you could tell our fundamentalist listeners why they can be rest assured that the American Council of Christian Churches is something that they should not oppose, and that this does not violate the independent autonomy of the local church.
Yes, that's the exact thing. The American Council of Christian Churches does not issue any directives to its members. It issues annual resolutions on various issues, which are resolutions that anyone from any denominational identity who believes in the inspiration, authority, and inerrancy of Scripture and applies that belief to daily life, anyone who does so can embrace and affirm the resolutions of the council. And so it serves as a platform to proclaim what many of us in different parts of the country believe, but have no platform from which to proclaim it. The council does, but in doing so, it does not require of its members any submission to orders from the top to conduct or believe in a certain way. And so no one sacrifices any of his distinctives by coming into the council unless his distinctive is to be absolutely, exclusively alone from everybody. And that's another issue. But I can recall some years ago when I was an officer in the council, visiting pastors on the West Coast whose churches were on the mailing list of the council, just trying to make contact with them. And I visited with one in particular, and as soon as I told him where I was from, he said, all councils are evil, that's where the trouble in church histories come from. And that was just about the end of the visit, on his terms and wishes. And it's sad when that circumstance arises.
Ironically, the councils were mainly formed to combat and eradicate heresy.
Yes, exactly. So that's the American Council. I appreciate very much, and am always challenged and edified. And quite frankly, the last few years, as I've attended meetings of the council, I think the preaching has been some of the strongest and clearest I've ever heard coming from the council, and I have left refreshed and edified, both by the preaching and by the camaraderie of men who want to serve the Lord and are humbly given to the fear of God.
Amen. Well, just to give our listeners a bit more information about this event, next Tuesday through Thursday in Carlisle, Pennsylvania at Faith Chapel. The event begins on Tuesday at 7 p.m. with a very interesting title. I'm dying to find out what this message is actually about in more detail, but the theme is The Battle Royale, Biblical Fundamentalism, and Reverend Dan Greenfield is going to be delivering that message, and I received word from Dan that he's looking forward to being on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sometime after the conference. He could not fit us into his schedule beforehand, but we're looking forward to interviewing Dan, God willing, in the near future. And then there are messages such as on Wednesday, God Would Raise Up New Generations of Fundamentalists, delivered by Reverend Cliff Hawthorne. Knowing Our History, Biblical Fundamentalism's Past, which will be delivered by Dr. Kevin Hobie. Is it Hobie or Hobby?
Hobie. Kevin Hobie.
And then we have Has the Battle Ended? Biblical Fundamentalism's Present and Future by Dr. Chick Deer, who pastors right here in Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. And our guest today, Dr. John McKnight, one of his messages is The Fundamentalist's Perils. And then we have coming up on the final day of the event, Reverend Brad Ryder is going to be speaking on Abandoning Self to Please a Holy God. And Reverend John Mark Turner is going to be speaking on The Basis of Biblical Fundamentalism, Holiness. And then Dr. Paul Elliott will be speaking on Unsung Heroes, Fundamentalism's Needs, and then The Desire of Biblical Fundamentalism, Purity and Revival by Reverend David Mook, who pastors a Free Presbyterian Church in Phoenix, Arizona. And then there's going to be breakout sessions which each pay tribute to a hero of the faith within the fundamentalist movement. Stephen Hamilton, who was our guest yesterday, one of our guests yesterday, he's actually going to be speaking on the claim of homosexual celibate Christianity. And then Dan Greenfield again, he's going to be speaking on Do Our Associations in Ministry and Pulpit Sharing Matter? And then the tributes are going to be paid to the great heroes of the fundamentalist movement, such as Bob Jones Sr., who will be given tribute by Jonathan Peters, Bob Jones Jr., who will be given tribute by John Mark Turner, Carl McIntyre, who we were just mentioning earlier, my friend Brad Zell, who was also a guest yesterday on the program, he's going to be paying tribute to Dr. McIntyre. Robert T. Ketchum will be the subject of a tribute by Dan Greenfield. The very controversial Ian Paisley will be given tribute by Ronald Cook. J. Gresham Machen, a very beloved figure that Reformed Baptists and Presbyterians both join in admiring in a great degree. J. Gresham Machen, one of the pillars of the fundamentalist modernist controversy on the fundamentalist side, of course. He is going to be given tribute by Paul Elliott. W.B. Riley will be given tribute by Kevin Hovey. William and John Ashbrook will be given tribute by Stephen Spence. As we said earlier, Don McKnight, the father of my guest today, John McKnight, will be given tribute by my guest, John. And Chick Deere, who will be paying tribute to Ralph Kolos. So if anybody wants more information on how they can attend this conference, all you have to do is go to the website of the American Council of Christian Churches. And that website is ACCC4truth.org. That's ACCC4truth.org. And then /2019-convention. That will bring you right to the details on this conference. And we'll be, God willing, repeating this information later on. So, now we have to go to our first break, and when we return, I want you to give us more detail about your personal journey from Wesleyan Arminianism into what has been nicknamed Calvinism, and has been nicknamed the Doctrines of Sovereign Grace, and has been nicknamed the Doctrines of Free Grace, and has been nicknamed the Doctrines of Reformed Theology or Reformation Theology. We'll find out more about that when we return. And if you would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. John R. McKnight.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hopley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture
dissemination of Scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron at a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a little less than 90 minutes to go, is Dr. John McKnight, a pastor of Reformation Bible Church in Darlington, Maryland, and also one of the speakers at a conference where I will be attending, God willing, next Tuesday through Thursday, right here in my new hometown of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at Faith Chapel. In Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That's the American Council of Christian Churches 2019 convention. And once again, for more details on that conference, go to accc4truth.org, accc4truth.org, and then that's /2019-convention. And we'll be repeating that information throughout the program. And our email address, if you'd like to join us on the air with a question on Dr. John McKnight's journey from Wesleyan Arminianism to Calvinism, guided by the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit alone, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. By the way, brother, before I even have you begin to give us more details about your testimony, we have greetings being given to you from an old schoolmate of yours who hasn't seen you. I don't know what school he's talking about, if he's talking about seminary or Bible college, but his name is Fred Zaspel. He happens to be an old friend of mine as well. And Fred Zaspel is on the pastoral team at the Reformed Baptist Church of Franconia, Pennsylvania, which is actually located specifically in Telford, Pennsylvania. And he sends his greetings and wanted me to pass on your email address to him so he can get back in touch with you.
Yes, well, my greetings as well to Fred Zaspel. We did meet years ago as students at Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. And I think then, since college, our next meeting and only meeting, if I'm not mistaken, was we met up at a Banner of Truth conference there in, I believe it was in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. And it's always a delightful meeting when I find an old acquaintance from years past who is there at that conference. That means something.
Amen. And by the way, folks, I'd like to give plugs to good churches, especially when providentially a pastor from that church sends in an email to this program. But the website for the Reformed Baptist Church of Franconia, Pennsylvania is rbcfranconia.org. RBC Franconia, and that's spelled FRANCONIA.org. RBCFranconia.org. Well, let's pick up where we left off. You already said that you had been raised in an evangelical Methodist home with an evangelical Methodist father who was a pastor. Tell us from there how you first began to hear about those doctrines that have been nicknamed Calvinism or Reformed theology or the doctrines of sovereign grace or the doctrines of free grace. Tell us about that.
Well, I'm happy to do so, and it's always a delight to speak about these things, and I can't speak about them without speaking of my conversion, too, so I'm eager to do that. But I guess I have to say it all starts in that I was born in Haverty Grace, Maryland, which is a small town located right at the point where the Susquehanna River empties into the Chesapeake Bay. And nothing spectacular about being born there, but I make that point in order to stress that I was not born in Xi'an, China, or in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, where I would likely live my entire life and never hear the gospel, never hear of Christ's atoning death, never have a Bible. I wasn't born there. I was born in Haverty Grace, Maryland, the United States of America, where I would have all of those things. Now, I didn't get to pick the place where I was born. Nobody does. That is of God's sovereign ordination. He placed me there instead of in China or North Korea or Saudi Arabia, and that has made all of the difference in whether I would ever have the gospel or not. And That continues to amaze me, the recognition that God sovereignly places people where they are born on earth. It is all of Him. Many of them, they are placed in a land, throughout history it's been the case, in a land and culture where they will not have the truth. The fact that He did me the vast favor of putting me in a place where I could hear the gospel cannot be overlooked or excluded from the, call it, equation by which I came to understand the gospel. And this is something that I'm always eager to share with my brethren who may not see the doctrines of grace, the fact that God sovereignly places every human being where they are born. And that event, in many, many cases, determines whether they'll hear the gospel or not. And that brings us to the fact that God is Acts 16, where the Apostle Paul would have gone eastward, but the Holy Spirit forbade them to do so and sent them westward instead. And that has made all the difference in the history of humanity. And it also has made all the difference in the fact that there is one part of humanity that has received the gospel and another part that did not receive the gospel. So when I was born into the USA, it was the placement by God into a context where I would hear the gospel and its free preaching. He placed me in the home of a fundamentalist pastor. And so I grew up hearing the gospel of Christ and was told that when I was 4 years old, I responded to an altar call and was born again at that point. Time would confirm to me that my regeneration actually did not take place until I was in college, but that's further on in the story. As a teenage boy and younger, full of himself and fun-loving and as mischievous as they come, how many times did I, in my bed, call out of fear that I would get caught for what I had done that day and punished severely for it, call out to God to save me if it didn't work the last time, do it this time. And that's kind of the way I came up. I was once exposed to what was called Calvinism. I had no idea what it was. And in reality, it was not an exposure to the doctrines that are called Calvinism, but an exposure to a controversy aroused against a Presbyterian minister who was also the administrator of our Christian school. And this was an evangelical Methodist congregation with a Presbyterian administrator of its Christian school. That's the openness and cooperativeness that characterized my upbringing theologically. And some others from outside the school made accusation against the principal that he was forcing Calvinism on students. I was in his class, never heard that, had no idea what it was. It had to be explained to me what they were saying, and that was my first introduction to Calvinism, and I certainly did not buy into that, did not embrace it at all, and left to one's own imagination, he will always, I believe, tend toward free willism. Everyone is born under the innate deception that he can do something to win God's favor, and that he must do something to win God's favor, and that is the root explanation for the countless religions around the world. Men thinking they can and will do something to win the favor of God, not realizing that God's favor is freely dispensed as he chooses to and sovereignly dispensed. So that was my my childhood theological experience, if I can put it that way. I knew when I was in 11th grade of high school that I was to be a preacher. I had known that from earlier years, and so I went away to college after graduation from high school to major in Bible. And I would profess faith in Christ, no question at all about that, no doubts. I knew I was saved, but the thing is, I wasn't saved. And in my second year of college, attending Bob Jones University, I suddenly began to be overcome with doubts, not doubts about salvation, but this is the way I was thinking. There are 6 billion people on earth. That's how many we were told were on earth at that time. 6 billion people, and do you mean to tell me that there is one being who knows the number of hairs on the heads of every one of those people? That is just too fantastic. That is too fairy tale-ish. And that's where my thoughts were going, to the point that I found myself in unbelief, and not an unbelief that I had consciously decided upon, but suddenly I'm an unconfessed atheist, majoring in Bible at Bob Jones University, known to my congregation that I grew up with to be a student studying for the ministry, and here I am, not even convinced that God exists.
Wow.
And proud to tell anybody about it. And many things were going on in my mind, and I was struggling with the hypocrisy of the situation, that I was known as something that in my heart of hearts now I knew I wasn't. And I did begin praying earnestly, God, if you exist, reveal yourself to me. And it wasn't happening. And finally, one rainy, cold February Sunday afternoon in Greenville, I decided I would go speak with the man who was reputed to be the most advanced Bible scholar on campus, Dr. Stuart Custer. He was also an avid student of astronomy, and each Sunday afternoon he gave a planetarium lecture in the university's science building and its planetarium, and I just figured if he doesn't have an answer for me, then there is no answer, and I'll just have to forget it all and go my way. And so I went to him and stayed around after the lecture. I didn't want anybody to see me or hear what I was saying to him, and once the planetarium was empty, I told him what I've just told you concerning my experience. And he merely came back at me immediately, quoting two verses of scripture from Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Well, hearing that, immediately the unbelief was gone. And it's not that I tried to believe in something, or that I then and there made a profession. Then and there, by the hearing of those two verses, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, my whole system of doubt and question just disappeared. It was gone. It's never returned. And at the time, I just assumed I had gotten assurance of salvation because that's the way things were put in those days, in those contexts. In subsequent years, I would realize that indeed faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that event in that planetarium that day was God, by the word, revealing himself to me, taking away my sin, saving my soul, and then and there, I was born again. And I look back to that with great gratitude and regeneration and took place. And I believe God took me through that process in order to show me that unbelief is not something we just decide we're going to do. It instead is the very constitution of our nature. It is what we are. We are living unbelief until God regenerates us and gives us the gift of saving faith. And so I look back on that experience. I love to talk about it to anyone who wants to listen, because for the same reason I love to hear others' testimonies of how God saved their soul. And so that's my testimony of salvation. And I did not at that point understand the doctrines of grace. In fact, I would not understand them for years to come. I guess I have to be honest and say I still don't understand them, everything about them, that is, because God's truth, like God himself, is infinite, and all eternity will be a continual exploration of the wonders and glory of our God, who has no limit and no end. So I was born again, continued on through my college experience, and then continued in graduate school there at Bob Jones in the School of Religion. And it was interesting in systematic theology. Our textbook was Charles Hodges' three-volume systematic theology. And it was some of the most challenging reading I had done to that date. And I look back in it and embarrassed when I read the marginal arguments that I jotted down against Hodge and what he was teaching, because I knew, coming from a Methodist background, that I was Wesleyan Arminian. And I knew that the Bible spoke of election, but I could dismiss the true meaning of it by the sincere belief that election according to foreknowledge simply meant that God knew in advance who was going to believe in him. And on that basis, they were elect.
In fact, we have to pick up right where you left off there.
Okay.
We have to go to our midway break, and we will pick up right where you left off on foreknowledge. If anybody would like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. This is our longer-than-normal break, so please be patient. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break so that they can air their own public service announcements to localize this program to Lake City, Florida. And while they do that, we air our own commercials that are heard globally. So please be patient with us, and we'll be back after this longer-than-normal break after these messages from our sponsors. Don't go away. Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York. and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air, because solid-ground-books.com is a primary sponsor of this broadcast, and barring a miracle, I cannot imagine that we would be able to remain on the air without their financial support. In fact, Mike Gaidosh, founder and president of solid-ground-books.com, is so impressed and thrilled and financially blessed himself through advertising on this program because of the large number of audience members listening to this program who have purchased books from solid-ground-books.com, that he has tripled his advertising budget since he first launched
his ad campaign with us in 2015. So please help us repay the kindness by continuing to purchase books from solid-ground-books.com. And if you've never purchased books from that ministry before, please begin to do so. They have the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. Some of the treasures from church history that went out of print and were long forgotten have been discovered and brought back into print by solid-ground-books.com. So please continue to purchase from them, or begin to if you have not yet done so, at solid-ground-books.com. And there's a lot of holidays coming up where people normally buy gifts, so do a lot, if not all, of your gift giving at solid-ground-books.com. And we urge you to please remember always to remind them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our interview with Dr. John McKnight on his testimony of being a Christian on a journey from Wesleyan Arminianism into Calvinism by the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit alone, we just have some important announcements to make in regard to special events that we hope you attend. The first we've already been mentioning, that's the American Council of Christian Churches 2019 convention being held right here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, next Tuesday through Thursday at Faith Chapel in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And the theme of this convention is, I think, a very thought-provoking one: Biblical Fundamentalism, Pursuing Purity. And if you want more details on this conference, just go to the website, accc4truth.org. That's accc4truth.org/2019-convention. That's accc4truth.org/2019-convention. Then coming up, another conference that I will be attending, God willing, which will be held Friday, November 1st and Saturday, November 2nd at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, is the Doctrines of Grace Conference being hosted by Long Island Spurgeon Fellowship. This is a fraternal of Long Island pastors who believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace, and a number of these pastors will be speaking on such subjects as God's sovereignty, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, perseverance of the saints, is Calvinism biblical, and there will be a Q&A roundtable with the audience. If you'd like to join me there on Friday and Saturday, November 1st and 2nd, at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, you can call 631-696-5711, 631-696-5711, or go to reformedrookie.com, reformedrookie.com. And you could also go to the website of Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, which is hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli for Long Island, .net. Then coming up in December, on Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, I will be heading out to my old stomping grounds in New York City to the Foundations Conference, a conference founded and hosted by SermonAudio.com. And I have a feeling Stephen Lee and the folks at Sermon Audio would feel very much at home at next week's conference as well in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, since the Free Presbyterian Church of North America has representatives at both conferences. The Foundations Conference has become such an important part of my conference attending. And this is for men in ministry leadership only, because the venue is so small, it can only seat less than 200 people. They've restricted attendance to men in ministry leadership. And I hope you join me there Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th. The roster speaking at this conference includes Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, Paul Washer, Reverend Jeff Thomas, Reverend Armin Tomasian, who is a Free Presbyterian pastor. He is a young man, but I believe that over the next decade, he is going to be a household name in the Christian church, especially amongst Reformed Christians. He is one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard. I feel like I am sitting in a pew in a Puritan church from centuries ago, listening to a Puritan pastor preach. He is just magnificent. Richard Colwell Jr. and Andrew Quigley, both men from the Free Presbyterian Church that I have not yet heard speak yet, but I am certain that if SermonAudio.com has selected them, they must be magnificent. If you want to join me there in New York City during the Christmas season, the best time to be in New York City, and as far as my opinion is concerned, if you want to join me there Thursday and Friday, December 19th and 20th, go to thefoundationsconference.com, thefoundationsconference.com. Then in January, from January 16th through the 18th, that's Thursday through Saturday, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia, God willing, more specifically College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta, at the Georgia International Convention Center. That's where they have been holding for a number of years the annual G3 conference. G3 stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And I am always thrilled to man an exhibitor's booth there at the G3 conference. I've always had an extraordinary experience by doing so, by God's grace. And I am expecting the same this January. And I hope you join me there. The theme is going to be Worship Matters. And as always, they have an astronomical lineup of speakers, the largest lineup of speakers I've ever experienced at any conference. Not only numerically large, but also absolutely profound in their gifts, these speakers. They include, once again, Dr. Stephen J. Lawson of One Passion Ministries, my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, a dear friend of mine since 1995, Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, good friend of mine who's been promoting this conference on my show, Derek Thomas, the world-renowned Presbyterian author and pastor and conference speaker, my friend Dr. Tom Askell, who is the executive director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry within the Southern Baptist Convention, Reverend and Dr. Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. A fascinating speaker is Costi Hinn, who, if that name sounds familiar, it's probably for a very horrible reason. His uncle is the notorious charlatan and heretic Benny Hinn, but Costi doesn't mind me saying that because he himself says just as much, especially as often as he can when he is traveling outside of his own pulpit, warning the church and the lost community alike about the deadly and dangerous and damning deceptions of the Word of Faith movement and the Health, Wealth, and Prosperity movement. Costi has renounced the Word of Faith movement of his youth and renounced his own uncle as a false teacher. And he is currently a Reformed Baptist pastor and a cessationist now in Arizona. He was in California, as James White has been saying in his ads for the G3 conference, but he is now in Arizona. He is on the roster, and many others are on the roster. And as you have heard, the latest update is that Dr. John MacArthur himself is speaking at this conference. I would be there even if it was just him alone. I am looking forward to this with bated breath, and I am also going to be, as I said, manning a Iron Sharpens Iron radio exhibitors booth there again. This will be my fourth year in a row. If you want to join me there, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com to register. That's January 16th through the 18th, Thursday through Saturday in 2020 at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia. I strongly urge you to join me not only in attending this conference, but join me in registering for an exhibitor's booth if indeed you have a business or a parachurch organization or some kind of ministry that you want to promote to the body of Christ in large numbers. And they have over 5,000 people that attend this conference every year. With John MacArthur added to the lineup, I think they're going to have over 6,000 people. That's just my guess, but it's an educated guess. And so if you want to register for an exhibitor's booth to reach all those people, I would strongly urge you to register for one quickly, because they're going to run out of room a lot more quickly for exhibitor's booths than they will for attendees. So go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com to register either for attending or for an exhibitor's booth. And remember to tell them that you heard about this event from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love my radio show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves. You love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones. You love the fact that very often we feature guests and topics that are never heard anywhere else. Well, please, if you love this show, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate. Now, you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so, and you could also mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Never, ever, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and your home. Providing for my show is obviously not a command of God, but if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate as frequently as you can and as generously as you can. Use some of that extra money that you have for recreational purposes, for sporting events, for ice cream, for all those things that are trivial, that are not necessary, that are not in, that you're in no urgent need to participate in. Use some of those funds to help us survive if indeed you love the show. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, then please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. and put advertising in the subject line. We are in urgent need of your advertising dollars to help us remain on the air. So please help us by advertising with us if whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with what I believe. You just need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. And remember, if you're not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God. Please rectify that situation. I may be able to help you. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the globe. I've already helped quite a number of listeners in our audience find churches near them in all parts of the world, whether they have joined them and become members of them, or whether they have visited them when they were on vacation, or whether they have recommended them, these churches, to family, friends, and loved ones who are without a church home wherever they live. So if this situation applies to you, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. and put, I need a church, in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I will try to help you to the best of my ability from these lists that I have all over the world to help you find a biblically solid church home. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest, Dr. John McKnight of Reformation Bible Church in Darlington, Maryland, as we continue our discussion now on his personal testimony, his journey from Wesleyan Arminianism into Calvinism, guided by the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit alone. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Before we take any listener questions, Dr. McKnight, you were, when we left off, you were talking about how many of our brethren outside of the doctrines of sovereign grace misunderstand what God's foreknowledge means, and if you could pick up on that.
Yes, I certainly can, with delight, to discuss these great truths. I was of the opinion that divine foreknowledge, election is taught in the Scripture, election according to foreknowledge, and that foreknowledge was simply God knowing in advance what was going to happen. And with that understanding, I could ease my way through every biblical reference where the word elect or chosen might be found. But then I was confronted with the scripture there in Matthew chapter 11. And by the way, coming to these convictions concerning the doctrines of grace, or Calvinism as some wish to call it, I did not read any authors or apologists for that position at all. It was all really a major turning point with this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 11. The Lord Jesus was rebuking the cities where he had done his great works. And in the 21st verse, he said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." And so when our Lord rebuked Chorazin and Bethsaida with those words, he made it clear that he knew exactly what it would take to bring Tyre and Sidon to repentance. But he hadn't given that to them. He had given it instead to Bethsaida and Chorazin. And that was more than foreknowledge. God knew in advance what would happen if certain circumstances were present, but he chose not to give the circumstances that would have brought the cities of Tyre and Sidon to repentance. And seeing that, I knew that that could not coincide with or stand side by side with my understanding of foreknowledge. And I knew that if my understanding of foreknowledge could not stand up against this, that my whole system of thinking had to go through a complete transformation, which I did not want. And so I struggled with this, and for 3 days, night and day, my wife, I guess, was wondering what was going on. I couldn't sleep. I was just struggling with the fact God knew what would have brought Tyre and Sidon to repentance and chose not to give it to them. That is more than just knowing in advance what would happen. And I finally had to yield to the fact, okay, God did not simply know in advance what was going to happen, but he ruled and controlled what was going to happen. And if that's the case, then election according to foreknowledge is not God electing those whom he knows in advance are going to choose him, but it is God determining who will indeed turn unto him. And I came by that means to understand that foreknowledge is God, in fact, knowing his own before they are called. And once my own arguments crumbled before that realization, other matters concerning God's saving mercies were very clear to see. In other words, if God elects some to salvation, he is going to succeed in accomplishing his purpose. He cannot fail. He is God. And thus, election of someone to salvation ensures that that person is going to be saved, that the grace of God is going to prevail in subduing that person's rebellion and unbelief and in bringing them unto saving faith. And as well, if God has elected someone unto eternal life, then eternal life is what they are going to have. They're not going to lose it. They will be saved and secured forever. And so from that, I came to recognize the truth of prevailing effectual grace and the truth of the perseverance of God's people, saved forevermore. I always thought that I believed in total depravity, but coming to this understanding of foreknowledge, I began then to perceive how total depravity is.
Amen.
And that it's something beyond what I had comprehended, that man, in fact, will not turn unto Christ apart from a great work of sovereign elected grace. I still did not see or understand particular redemption. And I could not reconcile particular redemption, with many of the passages that are used by those who affirm a universal redemption offered. I saw the inconsistency of holding to universal redemption, and when I say universal, I mean an atonement provided for everybody, not effectual for everybody, but provided for everybody. I recognize my position was contradictory, but one of the things that I appreciate from the emphasis I received as a student at Bob Jones University was you don't have to reconcile every text of Scripture with every text, but you have to believe it all. Indeed, it is all
Amen.
God. And so I could withstand a contradiction in my own thinking because I knew that we are limited, finite beings. So for years I struggled with that question of for whom did Christ atone at Calvary? And my favorite texts to fight against the universal, or to fight against particular redemption, were the passage there in Peter where God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that phrase, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, I clung to with great confidence and certainty that meant the atonement work of Christ was a universal work. But I was reading it one day for the 100th time, and in fact for the very first time, and it suddenly leaped off of the page at me, God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I realized that what it's saying is, God is long-suffering to us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that of all of us should come to repentance. And if that's what it's saying, then who is the us that it speaks of?
Amen.
And as I look through Peter further, it was very clear, he's speaking to the elect. And in fact, that passage is not telling us who will be saved or who can be saved. It is instead Peter answering the scoffers who said, where is the promise of his coming? And Peter simply says the reason the coming of Christ seems to be delayed is because not all of us have been brought in yet.
Amen.
And when the last one of us is saved, the last one of the elect is saved, Christ will return. And so suddenly that passage, which I had used to fight against the actual particular atonement of God's people, I saw was making that truth very, very clear and was teaching the opposite of what I had tried to make it say. And then the other passage on that matter, which I had utilized, was there from Paul's word to Timothy that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And as I read through that passage, I see that he's saying prayer ought to be made for all men, for kings, for all those who are in authority, that we may live a quiet, a peaceable life. And I began contemplating that. When he says we are to pray for all men, what does he mean? Are we to make a prayer list and put every single human being's name on it? Well, of course not. It's utterly impossible to do so. And certainly he doesn't mean that we're to simply pray, Lord, I pray that your will be done for all men. Amen. And so I realized that that passage was specifically saying, pray for kings, for rulers. In other words, don't leave any class of people out of your praying. Because God will have people from every class of people to be saved. Yes, even wicked rulers God can save. And men of power he can use to enable you to live a quiet and peaceable life. And thus, when it goes on to say he will have all men to be saved, he's saying men of all groups, of all classes, he will have to be saved. Therefore, pray for them. Don't failed to pray for someone because of his rank and station in life or the extent of his wickedness, pray for him. God will have men of all sorts to be saved. And with those truths, I began to recognize that indeed Christ's atonement was for the elect whom God had given him before the foundation of the world. And the more I contemplate that truth, the more I see that as the very center of the work of Christ at Calvary.
And amen.
That to me is where everything comes down. Either on the cross, Christ actually atoned for sin, or he merely provided the potential for all men to have their sins atoned. And if he did the latter, merely provided the potential, then it's up to the sinner to add the one missing ingredient that brings the whole atoning work of Christ to effectual application. And that is the gospel presentation that I find in a large segment of evangelicalism today. And I don't mean to suggest that our brethren who do not see these truths are denying the gospel when they preach a potential atonement. I recognize that there's not a one of us who does it perfectly, that there's not a one of us who understands the scripture perfectly. Even the Apostle Paul wrote inerrantly, now we see through a glass darkly. Now we know in part. And if the inerrant apostle confessed that, then I better be very humble in my own dogmatism. And therefore, I certainly recognize as brethren men who refuse to preach what I have just enunciated, men who reject the doctrines of grace. But I do believe that they are preaching a potential atonement when in fact what Christ accomplished on Calvary was an actual atonement. Then and there, when he prayed, Father, forgive them, he was praying for the elect of God. He was praying for the ones who would be forgiven, because Christ could not make that request and the ones for whom he prayed not be forgiven. Christ's prayers are the very expression of the will of God. So when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do, if he was praying for everybody at the foot of the cross, then they were all saved. They had to be. Christ prayed for that. If he's praying for all of humanity, then they will all be saved. I believe, though, he was praying for God's elect, as Isaiah prophesied, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And he focuses on his own and prays that they might be forgiven, which is the explanation for what follows immediately there in Luke's account, the conversion of the thief. Who could have reasoned with that thief that day and convinced him that the man on the middle cross was Christ, the Son of God, and the only way into heaven, who had a kingdom that he was presiding over? No logic could have convinced that thief of that at all. The only thing that could change his thinking would be if his thinking was totally rewired by God. And that's what happened when Christ prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That thief was then and there converted, and it became very evident in what he spoke. So that's my testimony of the Lord's leading in my life. I should probably be ashamed to admit that I've never read Calvin, and I've read portions but never read his complete work. And I certainly don't believe what I believe because I read some men that argued for it. The scriptures, I believe, have guided me to where I am now. And when I read men like John Owen, I can very readily say, why, indeed, yes, this is exactly what I found in the scripture. And so there's my testimony of coming to the doctrines of grace.
Praise God. Very briefly, I came to the doctrines of grace after stubbornly and adamantly rejecting them when someone gave me a booklet titled George Whitefield's Letter to John Wesley on Election. Now, The issue, though, is not unlike yours, because although this was a booklet where George Whitefield was writing to John Wesley, I was a new believer. I had no clue who George Whitefield was or who John Wesley was, so neither of their opinions mattered at all to me. But George Whitefield's letter to John Wesley was replete with scripture, and it was the scriptural evidence that George Whitefield gave, not George Whitefield's opinions, but the scriptural evidence that George Whitefield gave to John Wesley that the Lord used to open my eyes to these truths. And so I am so thrilled for that. And we're going to our final break right now. And if you have a question, we do have several people waiting for the questions to be asked. But if you want to get in line, email us immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with Dr. John McKnight right after these messages from our sponsors. One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnson and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vodi Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jeff Downs of Knox Reformed Presbyterian Church in Mechanicsville, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mark Grimaldi of Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merritt, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Scott Masolo of the Master's Church of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kevin Vigneault of the Bible Church of Port Washington, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church in St. Augustine, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Clint Leiter of Highway M Chapel, Sedalia, Missouri, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org. Welcome back, and this is our final segment of our interview today with Dr. John McKnight on his journey from Wesleyan Arminianism to Calvinism by the guidance of the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit alone. If you want to join us, this is your last opportunity at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have Christian in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, I am thrilled with your testimony of how you came to the doctrines of sovereign grace solely by the aid of the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. The fundamentalists that I know most frequently say that there would be no way anyone would believe in the doctrines of sovereign grace or Calvinism unless a Calvinist instructed them. Well, I don't believe that is true. In one way, this is a straw man argument because of the fact that everyone who has come to belief in Christ and has been saved has come to that belief typically by reading a work by a great man of faith or by hearing a sermon preached by a human being that is not speaking God-breathed words, but merely preaching what he has read from the scriptures himself, or otherwise known as exegeting the Word of God. Therefore, even the fundamentalist who hates Calvinism has learned what he has learned typically by a man who is preaching. Most often, people do not become Christians by finding a Bible in the woods somewhere and reading it by themselves, although I'm not saying that does not occur. I'm just talking about the normative way people are saved, and I was wondering how you would respond to this.
Well, I think it's an interesting and a very good point. Indeed, it seems to me that the vast Arminian world, I'll call it that, those brethren may not want to use the term Arminian, but it's a free will mindset and world, that can only develop, it seems to me, in a context where Christianity has already been established and taken firm root. And On the contrary, or consistent with that, is this concept. When someone in a land where there is no scripture, where there is no gospel, suddenly receives the gospel and embraces it and is saved, that first generation believer in that land knows that this was something God brought to him and not something he went out searching for. And only where God has brought the gospel and it has been widely accepted can the concept in mind then develop that, hey, I did this myself. So I hope I'm making sense in putting it that way. Indeed, the free will emphasis of so many preachers today is grown out of a settled Christian culture and handling, perhaps weak handling of the gospel, something that is innate within them and has been buttressed by the religious culture, whereas those in, call it, the barren territory where the gospel has not been taken, when they get the gospel, they know God has done a special, sovereign dispensing of the gospel to them.
Well, thank you, Christian, and we have an anonymous listener who says, the hardest text that I have to defend when I am dealing with my anti-Calvinist friends is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And that text reads, as you know, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. This seems to be teaching that those for whom Christ died include those that wind up denying him and are destroyed, I'm assuming meaning going to hell after they perish. Can you explain this in light of your belief of particular redemption or limited atonement?
Admittedly, that is a difficult and challenging text of Scripture, but I believe the answer lies in the fact that the word Lord that is used in 2 Peter chapter 2, the Lord that bought them, is not the Greek word that is used for Christ, but the word that is used simply to speak of a master, in the sense that you might in some cultures refer to someone as having lordship over you. And so it is not necessary to force that, to force Christ as the one being spoken of there, the Lord, Jesus Christ that bought them, for it is a word that is not used to identify Christ. It's used to identify masters of another sort.
Now, I have heard some Calvinist exegete that to mean that Paul was referring to these people who denied the Lord that bought them according to their profession. In other words, they claimed to be Christians, but they really weren't. Would that be an acceptable option in exegeting that, in your opinion?
I think so, yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, we are out of time. The time just flew by, and I want to make sure that our listeners have, once again, the website for Reformation Bible Church of Darlington, Maryland. That website is easy to remember, reformationbiblechurch.org, reformationbiblechurch.org. Don't forget, folks, that if you want to attend the conference that I will be attending, God willing, where my guest is speaking, along with a long list of other speakers, that's Tuesday through Thursday of next week, in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at Faith Chapel. Go to accc4truth.org/2019-convention. That's accc4truth.org/2019-convention. I want to thank you so much, Dr. McKnight, for being an excellent guest. In fact, I already know that I want you to return frequently as my guest here in Iron Trip and Zion Radio, and I hope that you take the time out of your schedule to do so. I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, brother.